Congratulations on Dirty Wars being shortlisted for an Oscar. That does it for our show. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Special thanks to Hani Masood, Mike Burke, Renee Felsaramonte. Thanks for joining.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 8:01. Coming up next is Voices from the Edge with host Joanne Hardesty. Today's guests are Dr. Alicia Moreland Capuia and Dr. Maggie Bloomington Davis, both with Healing Hurt People, a partnership between Cascadia Behavioral Healthcare Incorporated and Legacy Emmanuel Hospital, focused on helping young males of color recover from trauma.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor a salsa dance party to celebrate 17 years of the Community Alliance of Tenants, the only statewide grassroots tenants rights organization. December 6th, from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m., this party will include a light dinner buffet, short program, and salsa lesson. It will take place at the Grand Cafe at 832 Southeast Grand Avenue in Portland, Oregon. Again, that's the Community Alliance of Tenants Salsa Party, December 6th, from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. at the Grand Cafe. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO is seeking a station manager to lead our dynamic 45-year-old non-commercial radio station. Ideal candidates will have nonprofit management experience, the ability to thrive and work collaboratively in a decentralized organization, and the ability to delegate, plan, and organize people to meet goals and objectives. If this interests you, please go to kboo.fm/stationmanagerhire2013.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your rights.
Good morning, good morning. I'm Joanne Hardesty, and welcome to Voices from the Edge. I am pleased to have in the studio with me today two medical doctors who are going to talk about a program called Healing Hurt People, which is a partnership between Cascadia Behavioral Health and Legacy Emmanuel Hospital. I have with me Dr. Alicia Moreland Capuia, and I have Dr. Maggie Bennington Davis. Maggie Bennington Davis is with Cascadia. She's the Chief Medical and Operating Officer at the Nationwide Plaza. Dr. Alicia Moreland Capuia is a local girl who went to Jefferson High School. And I have to say this because, you know, we're really, really proud of her. Local girl, made good. She's from Northeast Portland, went to Harriet Tubman, went to King, went to Jefferson, graduated from Stanford University with a BS in biological science and minor in urban studies in June of 2002. Then she attended George Washington University School of Medicine with a Doctor of Medicine in May of 2007, completed 4 years of subspecialty training in psychiatry at Oregon Health and Science University in June of 2013. Currently, she is on a one-year fellowship in addiction medicine at Oregon Health and Science University. Welcome to the program, doctors.
Thank you.
I don't think I've ever had two doctors at one time on Voices from the Edge. This is pretty exciting. And I just love, love, love this program. The first time I heard about it, Healing Hurt People. And so we're going to start with you, Dr. Maggie Bennington Davis. Could you tell us what was the vision behind Healing Hurt People? What is that?
Thank you so much, Joanne, for the opportunity to talk about this program. I also love, love, love this program, and it's really a pleasure to talk about it. I first became aware of this program when I took a trip to Philadelphia with my boss, Cascadia's CEO, Dr. Darrell Walker. And the two of us were there visiting a woman, Dr. Sandra Bloom, who has done an awful lot of work and writing around the impact of violence on people and on communities and really on our nation. And she introduced us to two of her colleagues. The three of them work at Drexel University in the Center for Nonviolence and Social Justice. And I just loved the name of that department. And I said to Darrell, I want that department. I want to work in that department. So he said, well, let's figure out a way that we can take something back to Portland. The two people that we met that day were Drs. John Rich and Dr. Ted Corbin. John is an internal medicine doc, and Ted Corbin is the head of emergency medicine at Drexel. And John Rich had recently written a book called Wrong Time, Wrong Place, where he noticed when he was working in Boston at Boston Hospital that the young men and boys of color who came in injured into the emergency department seemed to sort of disappear and didn't really seem to be part of the healthcare system other than in the ER. And when he started to investigate this, he noticed that those people who came into the ER, young men and boys, particularly of color, often were treated as perpetrators rather than as victims. And even though they might have been wrong place, wrong time, even the healthcare system treated them badly. Mm-hmm. So he and Ted Corbin in Philadelphia, along with Sandy Bloom, put together a program called Healing Hurt People in Drexel, which we are now a part of here in Portland. And they joined a nationwide movement called Hospital-Based Violence Intervention Programs, which is, what are we, Alicia, the 23rd program?
We're the 23rd program, that's
23rd
right.
program in the nation. And you can actually look that up on your search engine.
And it's NNHVIP, the right. National Network of Hospital-Based Violence Intervention Programs.
There you go. So we took those concepts and brought them back to Portland and made a wish. And got a little bit of seed money from CARE Oregon to make all of our wishes come true. And we invited Dr. Alicia Moreland, who also sits on Cascadia's board, to actually operationalize the dream and the vision. And really, the rest is history.
All right. That was a wonderful overview. You talked about what I know about this program is that it's not done by any individual specialty. There's a team of people that work with people who have experienced violence. Dr. Alicia, you want to talk a little bit about what that, are you a part of that team? Is that
absolutely. So the way that it's kind of set up is one of the things that, and the reason I'm really happy that Dr. Maggie Bennington Davis is here today, and hopefully we'll be able to get to this, is the program's main focus. So I would say the centerpiece of Healing Hurt People is what we call trauma-informed care. And if Maggie were talking and not me, she would say that is a central piece because it changes the way that we ask questions about people. So when people come into the emergency department, it's not what's wrong with you, but mm-hmm. the question is what happened to you. And that, per Maggie's words, I stole that from her, but that's sort of the central essence of it. Mm-hmm. And the work is multidisciplinary. I think what people have noticed across the country with this sort of larger movement is that we have lots of multidisciplinary protocols for things like suicides, for sexual violence towards women, and for child abuse, but there really hadn't been such protocol for young, violently injured adolescents. Mm-hmm. And so we saw that nationwide that these particular multidisciplinary protocols work very well in these other settings, so why not change the approach to violence and right. look at it in the context of and I know this may sound not trauma-informed, but sort of look at it in a disease model. But if you look at it that way, then you can take sort of a public health approach, mm-hmm. and it changes our approach to how we deal with it. So the team then, the multidisciplinary team, consists of emergency room physicians, social workers, emergency room docs, trauma surgeons, mm-hmm. The chaplains, and social workers. And this whole sort of team is working collectively and collaboratively toward the effort of helping these young victims and their families mm-hmm. move to a place of healing holistically. So it's a pretty awesome approach.
And are we seeing results here in Portland?
We are, actually. And so I want to sort of step back because and give just a little bit, if you will, context about what the program actually is.
Okay.
So Healing Hurt People is really, if I were to word it, it's a youth violence prevention program. And what makes this program really awesome and unique is really what I would say four things. One is It's the point of intervention. So we are able to intervene at the point of when these young victims of violence are at their most vulnerable stages. And so that's when they enter the emergency department. They've either been stabbed or shot. And it's what we call in the trauma literature the golden moment or teachable moment work that we get to do. And so what the literature suggests is that there's this four-hour window that you have to sort of intervene. And it's really any trauma that if you intervene, that you are more likely to be able to have better outcomes with folks in terms of changing the trajectory of how they react to that violent situation or what happened to them. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like, and I've said this before, sort of like stroke victims. For folks who've had a stroke, what they say is if you can make it to the emergency department within 3 hours, we may be able to change the course of the long-term sequelae of how this will affect you. Same thing with trauma. Mm-hmm. So we operate on this literature. We say if we're able to get in, our folks get a call. The way it works is that we have a peer intervention specialist and an injury prevention coordinator. One is a master's trained clinician. The other is someone with lived experience. Mm-hmm. And the person with lived experience engages our victim, the young victim of violence, and the injury prevention coordinator who's master's trained engages the family, whoever is identified as family. So we have this two-pronged approach, mm-hmm. and they're working with folks, and essentially what we're doing is we're serving people where they are, developing rapport, and really it's a basic humanity. What can we do to serve you? What can we do? And then we're offering them the service, because really what the program is we're working with you in this golden moment piece in the hospital, and then we offer them the real work really happens, or the bulk of the work happens in the community. For 6 months to a year, we wrap services around these young people and their families. If it's GED work, if it's housing, if it's health care, helping them get access to Cover Oregon and that whole bureaucratic process of how to get through it, if it's GED completion, whatever it is, it's sort of the WIT, whatever it takes to get you to a place of complete healing. If it's family counseling and therapy, which most people do need, and I move away from that therapy word because it's really just assistance. Everyone could use counseling at some point to assist them with this process of healing through a trauma-informed psychoeducational lens. Now, with all that being said, that's a mouthful. The question is, are you getting results? Well, we're looking for, we had four very specific outcomes. We wanted to see reduced repeat emergency room visits, reduced retaliation, re-injury, re-arrest, and actually, I'm sorry, five. And the last one was we wanted to make sure that we could at least prevent the development of PTSD in these particular populations. Mm-hmm. We have had the data that we have for the last 5 months, because we collect data because we are held accountable nationally, and also locally within Cascadia's organization and our community partners. All of the nine folks that we have actively enrolled, there have been zero instances of repeat emergency room visits. There have been zero instances of repeat retaliation, rearrest, or reinjury, and we're still working on the PTSD portion.
Wow.
So we've gotten some pretty good results, as demonstrated by the other 22 programs, so we're following suit.
Right.
I would like to add that there's a sort of halo effect as well, and Drexel University described this to us, and I think we're seeing it here. When we first brought this concept back to Portland, Dr. Walker and I met with the people at Emmanuel Hospital, the trauma surgeons and the trauma ER docs, and the chief administrator there, Dr. Lori Morgan, who herself is a trauma surgeon. We sat in a room and described this program, and we watched the docs and as well as other staff who are in this in the ER really, first of all, look pretty skeptical. And eventually, as they heard, and we brought John Rich and Ted Corbin in to tell their stories, and eventually you saw this sort of hopefulness begin to bloom in these people who, the people who treat the victims of violence, who feel pretty helpless watching people come in over and over and over. And like, you know, they can patch them up, but they can't really interrupt
this.
They can't fix what's wrong. And this program offers a fix. And so to see them begin to bloom with hope was a really powerful thing. And I think a halo thing that occurs is all those same people watch the team, the Healing Hurt People team, in action right there in the ER. And I think it changes how they think about and approach and hope for better outcomes. And I think that's a very powerful outcome as mm-hmm. well.
And we're going to get deeper into that. But if you, our listening audience, would like to join this conversation, feel free to give us a call at 503-231-8187. I'm talking to Dr. Marlon Kapoor and Dr. Bennington Davis. Both are part of Healing Hurt People, a partnership between Cascadia Behavioral Health and Legacy Emmanuel Hospital. So I would imagine, and you have to tell me if I'm wrong, and I know you ladies will, I would imagine it also changes how the medical profession sees the individuals who are coming in who've been injured in some violent incident. And so I'd like to talk about, because quite frankly, I mean, I think if, you know, if it's Friday night and some kid's been knifed in Northeast Portland, I would think that the medical community would be a little cynical and would be thinking about, should we call the police, right, as compared to what kind of services can we provide this young person? How did that mental shift take place in addition to the program, right? Because something else had to happen to get medical people to see that this is an injured person as compared to a criminal.
Right. And so what you're really speaking to, or the essence of what you're speaking to, is that Healing Hurt People is not only changing the hearts and minds of people, but systems. Mm. Right. And so part of how we did this is when Maggie and Daryl came to me and said, will you consider taking on this you know, endeavor of operationalizing our vision and dream for Healing Hurt People in the Center for Nonviolence and Social Justice, because we are concerned about that wholeheartedly. And one of the things that I felt like was going to be very important was to go, everybody in that hospital at Legacy Emmanuel, the janitor knows what Healing Hurt People is.
Wow.
And Dr. Bennington Davis provided training on trauma-informed care for all of the staff, so there were particular trainings that were done. It was very important for us to make sure that we were all speaking the same language, because I can't really impact change mm-hmm. If we're not even on one accord with how we think about how we're going to do business. Right. And so what we were asking and challenging folks to, and they rose to the occasion quite wonderfully, was we need you to really suspend all judgment, and mm-hmm. that's really hard to do sometimes, right? So we're going to ask you to suspend all judgment and mm-hmm. to just assume the best about this person, and that the language that we're going to use is going to change completely. And we've been able to see those results. Mm-hmm. And so when folks come in, they're not re-injured by the harshness of your prejudice or right. your assumption right. or your language, right. but we are now at a place where I feel like you respect me for who I am and the fact that I'm at my most vulnerable stage. I don't right. care what happened.
Right.
right. It gets back to Dr. Bennington Davis, and I'm sorry I go between Maggie and Dr. Bennington Davis.
but she is
boss lady, so right. I'm but it goes back to sort of her central question, not what's wrong with you, mm-hmm. but what happened to you and how can we help you and how can we serve you? And I think that encapsulates sort of the true working essence of how we want to operate and how mm-hmm. we've been operating, which is why I really believe we've been able to get some of the impactful results we have, because mm-hmm. we treat people with dignity and respect.
Right.
And we're saying we understand something has happened to you. The other piece that we hadn't really talked about, but I know there's so much I want to say and so excited
right,
about.
Right, right.
But we have taken into strong consideration the social determinants of health. And mm-hmm. so everyone who comes through our program, they get an ACE score, which is the Adverse Childhood Experiences report. And that I believe the Kaiser Foundation did a large study on this. But basically, your ACE score, if you have an ACE score of 4 or higher, it really does dictate pretty bad stuff. Mm-hmm. Higher cardiovascular risk. It's bad for your health right. to have these particular, to have this score higher than that. And what we found is that many of the persons that we serve have ACE scores higher than 4.
Mm-hmm.
And so our basic working assumption is something has been done to you, something happened to you, and
right.
we want to respect the fact that something may have happened to you,
right.
and we don't want to re-injure you in the process of trying to help you. Because in the past, that's what systems have. There have been 20 million systems that converge on one person.
Right.
And this person is still feeling pretty damaged and beat down.
Right.
And so we're very cognizant of that reality, and we work to move away from that and really to optimize our ability to do the most good for the client that we're working with at that particular point.
Well, Dr. Maggie, I'm curious about, the health The health industry itself, as I'm sure you both know, as far as outcomes are concerned for communities of color, have not really been that good, right? Mm-hmm. You brought up the social determinants of health. This is a huge shift at a time where, you know, healthcare is going through all kind of transformations that could be good down as we move down the road, right? It's incredible to me to think that you could bring a program in that really focused on healing people in an environment where everybody in would say, I went to school so I could heal people, right? Mm-hmm. That was what I was here to do anyway. But yet the health industry itself has such poor health outcomes when it comes to communities of color. But yet you've been able to make the shift. Mm-hmm. How does that happen in spite of the poor outcomes in communities of color to be able to shift both the minds and the practices and the activities of health professionals?
I think that there are a lot of different factors involved in that. One of the early things that happened was a little scuffle over the word trauma in Legacy Emmanuel's ER, because they are a level one trauma center. And to their way of thinking, trauma is, you know, a really bad car accident, or the actual knife or gunshot wound, or falling off
heart
a building
attack,
or something.
Right.
That's their idea. I don't even think they'd think heart attack was trauma.
Uh-huh.
I think their idea of trauma was really this big, big thing, and that is a very physical thing. And so we had a little scuffle over, well, our idea of trauma-informed care has a lot to do with psychological, spiritual, social trauma. And so that was maybe the beginning of starting to shift that thinking a little bit. Mm-hmm. And although that was unique to this program in this moment, I honestly think that that kind of thinking is what's going to ultimately help us have better outcomes, certainly in people of color, but also in people, in other people as well. We've really ignored, Alicia alluded to the Adverse Childhood Experiences Study, which was first published in 1998 by authors Felitti and Anda. And it was a really important study then, but it's only just now starting to pick up steam around the world in terms of being an incredibly strong predictor, as Alicia said, of physical health outcomes. And when we start paying more attention to the experiences that we have in our communities, in our social circles and so forth, and all of the stresses of certainly violence, but also poverty, racism, food scarcity, homelessness, those things wind up having a profound impact on our physical health, particularly as people start to enter their 50s and their 60s. Mm-hmm. And if we can start to take that on as a society, finally, then I think we'll start to see differences in health outcomes. And frankly, I think that at least the medical professionals at Emmanuel Hospital glommed on to this idea because it gave them something to do. There's probably nothing worse for most of us, but certainly for doctors included, to feel helpless in the face of a problem that you're that you're dealing with. And to have given them not only some tools and the wonderful team that Alicia has fielded, but also a conceptual framework to think about, oh, that's what's going on here. Well, that's something I can address. Mm-hmm. And that's what the frame of trauma-informed care, adverse childhood experiences context, and the Healing Hurt People approach has done.
It's pretty fabulous. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. We're going to go to the phone lines if you'd like to join us. Hello, Joanne. Welcome to KBOO.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Some years ago, I got, I don't know what the terminology is, learning about, finding out about a body massage and all those kind of things, coming across the book Spiritual Midwifery, and I was interested in becoming a midwife in that, and but it couldn't happen because of certain dynamics. Well, also, in that period of time, and so much else was going on in the country and in my life, and I wanted to heal people. I wanted to heal my children, grandchildren, non-professionally. Mm. But I guess I realized after a while I needed healing. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, I started working myself as the best I can. I still am. I haven't reached it. And also this program, listening to the doctors, reminds me of a personal experience. Back in the early 1950s, when I made a cold turkey attempt to go to Hofstra College on Long Island, go pre-med, I think I wanted to be a medical missionary or something. And I had no preparation money-wise in high school or anything, or none of my family went to college. I did work for a couple of years and got together $500. Well, I jumped in there and learned about the chemistry department, bragged about plunking the most people or something. Okay, yeah, so I had to leave about 6 months later. I made a silent attempt, amateur suicide. It's not, well, it is funny and it's pathetic, with aspirin and that. And no, my family never knew. And even years before, when I was in high school, I was feeling so down about myself and life. I thought about ending my life jumping off a big building, but I never had the means to go to the city and do it. So,
Joanne,
I'll just end it there. I just brought up, a lot of, or some of my...
brought up some of your stuff, huh? Thanks, Joanne, for the call. From what Joanne said, I think she's absolutely true. There's a lot of hurt people in our community that we pass every day, and we don't know the hurt that they've experienced or... you know, what extremes they were attempting to go to try to deal with that pain. Mm-hmm. So the reality is we're talking about young people who are being influenced by violence. And so I did have a question. When we talk about young people being influenced by violence, is it necessarily direct violence or is it violence? I mean, in addition to direct violence, like, you know, someone physically harming them, but the indirect violence, either living in a household where domestic violence is taking place or being in a community that feels unsafe. I mean, so are we talking about all those forms of violence when we're talking about trying to heal people through this program?
Absolutely. It's all inclusive. I think that our particular focus, how you get into our program, is that we hear of the sort of physical. Mm-hmm. You do have to have some sort of physical manifestation.
Because
there's an emergency room. Mm-hmm. But when we dig deeper, what you discover, again, it speaks to these adverse childhood experiences, is that there are, when you peel away the layers, the trauma started well before, right, that there were exposures to things. I mean, many people would argue that just being a person of color can be an additional layer of trauma because of the things that you have, because of the burden of suspicion that you have to sort of carry for other people. Mm-hmm. So I think that, and that's a part of this process, is that we are looking at it holistically. Once you come into the program, there is an opportunity for you to work through this process. And it is a process. So as our last caller talked about, she went through a process, right? And that everyone copes with and deals with stress and disappointment and failure differently and trauma differently, but that this is now a unique opportunity for people to be able to do it as a family unit, because violence doesn't happen in a vacuum, and there's interpersonal violence, there's there's all different forms of it, there's transgenerational violence. I mean, there's all these different forms, and we're not trying to save the world and say we have all the answers to everything, but we really are trying to save lives one family at a time. That is our goal. And I'm proud to say that we're reaching it so far.
Mm-hmm. Knock on wood.
Yeah.
We have another caller on the line. Hello, Raquel. Welcome to KBOO.
Thank you, and good morning to you all. Thank you so much for bringing information about this program. In my opinion, it feels like such a essential program and a beautiful example of our call today, now, in all sectors of humanity, to be thinking creatively and appropriately about the causal symptoms that that express themselves in these patterns. And I myself am a spiritual midwife. I am integrating traditional healing modalities with tools around, doula and midwifery service at birth, death, and transitional states in people's lives. And I've been very curious about the place for traditional healing. I myself experienced a trauma with my husband and got to live in the hospital for about a year. And in that time, I had this incredible opportunity to be who I am in the hospital environment, in the ICU, bringing in aspects of traditional cultural healing modalities, which strongly complement trauma care and allopathic and alternative medicines in general. And there are small programs happening, I know, in the United States with the Pudanismo traditions of Mexico, in the Southwest, where the universities are really interested in studying why these people of color, the other demographic, you know, Hispanic people of color, reflect such phenomenal results when they are able to integrate some traditional healing modalities, which are entirely focused on the whole person, the spiritual condition, the emotional reflection of that, and how to help engage and shape that person in their healing experience by receiving the treatment more fully. Mm-hmm. And I just invite the curiosity of, you know, what your program may look like with greater sensitivity and invitation for that. And I personally, if there was an opportunity in Portland, would love to plug in and be of support and share some of the work that I do, because I end up bridging a lot of people who are receiving treatment and have gone through traditional care and have often come to traditional or conventional care, have come to traditional care as a last resort because mm-hmm. they're not healing, and mm-hmm. and that bridging, I strongly believe, is an essential key to really unleashing the healers that are inherent in every doctor, in every physician and therapist who set out on this path to support people and find themselves within systems that often just address the symptoms. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. And please don't go away yet. I want to make sure that Steve gets your contact information, our engineer, because I'm looking at the two doctors here, and they just can't wait to talk to you after the program is over. So stay on the line. But comments?
Well, first of all, thank you. I really appreciated your description of that, and I completely agree with you. I think mm-hmm. there are so many paths to healing, and I would add paths to wellness mm-hmm. that where, you know, we in traditional medicine, Western medicine, are only really recently beginning to understand how we've missed the boat mm-hmm. by not including those things in our education, our training, and our practices. So I really appreciated how you put that, and you did it in a very kind
yes, she did, didn't kind, she? Very eloquent.
Way. Yes. Yes, it was very nice. For the Healing Hurt People program, we do use a curriculum that Dr. Sandra Bloom developed that is a framework. It's called SELF, and that's an acronym. And the S stands for safety, not just physical safety, but moral safety, psychological safety, ethical safety. The E stands for emotions, meaning the ability to regulate one's emotions and to tolerate one's emotions, express one's emotions, understand them, label them, sort of the emotional intelligence part of things. The L stands for loss, mm-hmm. Because so often when people have faced, particularly in childhood, a lot of adversity and difficulties and challenges, there's a huge amount of loss, but there's not the time or the skills to grieve mm-hmm. the loss. And there's really not even the space mm-hmm. to deal with loss. So loss is something that later on in life becomes an important thing to address for people, so they can learn to let go, so they can and grieve, and then be able to move on. And the F part of self stands for
future,
which is kind of linked to loss, in that until you've grieved and let go, it's hard to imagine a future. And many people who have been through various traumas have a very hard time conceptualizing any kind of a future. And so that's the framework, and I think it fits with across a variety of cultures and a variety of healing sorts of rituals, but not to take away from your comment, which I think was really helpful and interesting.
I absolutely agree. And I think how wonderful that we are at a place in really looking at healthcare from a perspective of community health, that maybe we really are shifting attitudes as well as actually being able to connect people in meaningful ways to get their needs met, right? Mm-hmm. Because we have to fix the system we have, but it's nice to know that there are different entry points where it's going to be okay for people to come in. I know Providence does a great job of trying to identify what your what helps you spiritually, as well as what helps you emotionally in your healing process. So they try to do a very good job of trying to do an assessment of what's going to help make you healthy, right? Because the goal is wellness, mm-hmm. rather than we don't have to be the ones that provide everything you need. We just want to know how to help you be well, right? Which is a fabulous model to approach. We have another caller on the line, but before I go back to the phone line, if you're just joining us, we are talking about a fabulous program that is how old?
It's it only went live about
June 7th.
June 7th.
So we don't have a lot of history yet, but we have promising results so far.
And there are 22 other programs in
the country
that have a lot of results.
They've powerfully demonstrated their ability to do the things that we're looking to do that we've mentioned at the beginning. But.
Wonderful, wonderful. And so if you're just joining us, I'm talking to Dr. Moreland Kapoor, and I'm talking to Dr. Maggie Bennington Davis. Both are part of this innovative violence prevention program. Don't want to forget to mention that that's what this is about, preventing future violence. The program is called Healing Hurt People, and it's here in Portland, and it has some promising results after 6 months of activities. We're going to go back to the phone line. Hello, Vanessa. Welcome to KBOO.
Thank you. Okay, OMG. Okay, I never listen to the radio. But I have a roommate who loves KBOO.
Ah, so I love your roommate.
And I'm like, do they still have those? Okay. I was so excited this morning. I woke up this morning and to hear about this Healing Hurt People program and just that anybody even cares and acknowledges the fact that ethnic men and women or whatever, but, you know, there's a certain type of person that maybe goes through different types of trauma, different types of levels, not just physical levels, and just to even be sensitive to that. And it was really exciting to hear. Also, I've heard from my roommate that Joanne, does she call every day?
She tries to call at least once when I'm here a week.
Okay. Does anybody call Joanne or talk to her or invite her down to the radio station? I mean, is there anybody there that knows someone that can maybe talk to her, a therapist or something?
You know, what's interesting is I actually met Joanne one day at my neighborhood coffee shop.
Okay.
And had an opportunity to talk to her. I can tell you that we here at KBOO have been trying to connect Joanne for some years to people in the community that we think could be helpful, because she certainly has some challenges that she's been trying to overcome. Mm-hmm. So, as a radio host, I rarely get to meet people that I talk to a lot on the radio, and so I was thrilled to actually, it just so happened that she recognized my voice and came over and talked. So I can tell you that she has support here from people who've been trying to help her deal with some of the challenges that she has.
Oh, good. Well, yeah, that's basically what I was calling to say. I'm really excited about this program, and
I'm just hoping that people go home and talk to their friends and their family about it and just realize that people are treated differently, even when they're really vulnerable and are in pain because of the color of their skin or because of their economical background or because people make, you know, prejudice of why they're there.
Right. Well, thank you so much for your call. We really appreciate you calling today, and we appreciate you listening to the radio,
finally.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Have a good morning. Bye.
Thank you. You too. She raises a great point, because what we really haven't talked about yet is the stigma around mental illness. And we know that there's this huge barrier to overcome because of how we label people, right? And so I'm curious as to how this program helps to overcome that stigma, not just for the individual that may have some mental health issues, but also for their family that may are that suffering from the same issues.
Yeah, well, I want to sort of clarify two things. I think that there is a huge distinction to be made between mental health and mental illness.
Okay.
And I realize that we use those words interchangeably, but they are vastly different. We should all be concerned with our mental health. Every one of us should be concerned with our mental health. And not everyone is deemed mentally ill. One of the things that I think that is very important about sort of what we do, again, it's from this trauma-informed lens. We're not throwing people into diagnostic boxes. We're not saying you are this diagnosis. What we're saying is, let's try to, everyone who comes into our program gets a variety of assessments. You get a needs assessment, you get a safety assessment, and you get what's called a behavioral health assessment.
Mm-hmm.
That allows us, and again, the way that we frame it, and it is very important, is that we want to optimally serve you. So as much information as we can have about what your needs are and what your particular challenges are, the best we can help you.
Mm-hmm.
And what that ends up being, it says some folks have a pre-existing diagnosis. Others, we discover moving forward that, wow, you have really been struggling with this. And how can we help you? Because if we can help you with that, maybe we can put a dent in this other issue down here. So we don't... we work very hard, again, to explain what we're doing, to explain why it's important to sort of move forward with these things. And we don't dictate things. We facilitate.
Mm-hmm.
So when we come up with a treatment plan, I'm not telling you what needs to go in your treatment plan, but you're saying to me, these are some specific goals I have.
Mm-hmm.
And if you could help me reach these goals in this particular way, that'd be helpful. So I think that people find that to be respectful as well, that really the role is facilitating and not forcing.
Mm-hmm. And which is really different in the medical community, right?
Right.
Because aren't medical doctors taught to diagnose and fix, right?
That's
aren't they supposed to walk in and say, okay, I have the answer.
Right.
Next, right?
Well, there has been a lot of emphasis historically on what's wrong with you rather than what's happened with you or how can you be well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I do think that shift is occurring. I think that the health transformation that's going on in the state of Oregon is trying to push us that direction. And in terms of the stigma of mental illness, what's amazing to me is that mental illness is often a manifestation of a physical illness and vice versa. And so I think the stigma is so in some ways amusing and amazing because it's mental illness and physical illness are so attached to one another.
Mm.
And we've kind of forced this separation of the two. But it's essential that we put my boss likes to say, well, what we're talking about is the neck. We need the head reattached to the body.
I like that. That's good. Coming up this morning on KBOO at 9, Press Watch host Teresa Mitchell presents News You're Not Supposed to Know, including the story of fracking companies suing the state of Colorado and more. At 9:30 on Fight the Empire, host Pair interviews Annie Machone, a former British intelligence officer who resigned and revealed secret operations. At 10, hear Air Cascadia headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15 on Flashpoint, the senior producer of the show tells his moving personal story of growing up in a farm worker family and experiencing racism. At 11 on Between the Covers, host Dan Johnson interviews Oregon writer Christopher Lloyd about his book, The Edwin Drew Drone murders. And at 11:30 on Black Book Talk, the host shares their favorite books of 2013. We want to thank KBOO listeners and KBOO members for your generous support. If you haven't become a member yet, go to kboo.fm, click the tip jar, and become a member that way. We've got a couple of callers on the line, so we're going to go back to the phone line. Hello, Caroline. Welcome to KBOO.
Okay, this is Carolyn. You pronounce it like my dad.
Oh, okay. Well, I listen to Steve. I should know better.
Oh, well, see, the male heard it. Remember?
Yeah. Welcome.
Okay, I appreciate it. By the way, going back to the transition piece, the last joke was really good. Can't quite remember exactly what the words were. Now, I called because I thought when I began to listen about 8:35 that, hey, look, there's also alternative healing called lymphatic massage, which is for skin and the lymphatic system, and then acupressure, excuse my accenting here, with fingers, for using fingers as separate from puncture, which is needles. Uh-huh. And the acupressure and the lymphatic massage are available to everyone. You can go onto the internet, look up lymphatic massage, or look up, the other one that goes with acupressure is an Americanized word that has to do with the same stuff, which doesn't, I don't flush on this at this second.
Don't worry.
But you can find information about what's really going on in your system. Like your hand has the same kind of pattern that your feet do. And your toes and your fingers connect with your brain. And there's these pictures in our body, like there's one on the back and one in your ear. And they, each area in your body has a different accent, a specialty area that you can deal with. With lymphatic massage, it's fantastic, interestingly, for people who have extra adipose. It's extremely relaxing to their muscles, I find. And the other side of the coin is if you're feeling down, you're transferring downed or downish energy to the other person. And that is an important thing to remember for those who do work healing.
Well, thank you so much.
It may be transferable to other kinds of interaction.
Okay.
And so I just wanted to add this.
I appreciate it.
As an alternate, and that you know, there are certain people who are naturally able to do this, and others who are really, really happy to receive it.
Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate the call. Have a great day. Thank you. Let's go back to the phone line. Tremaine, welcome to KBOO.
Yeah, listen, my wife and I read the ACEs report years ago, and we always thought, when will physicians or other practitioners, health practitioners, when they meet a family, when will they use this as a intake piece of information? Everybody, you know, asking them, besides what diseases they had in the past, et cetera, et cetera. But what are the ACEs that are been in their life so they can really design a appropriate treatment program? Mm-hmm. Because we know all the things that follow up from families and kids who've been subject to ACEs. And it was so encouraging to hear this program today where somebody's actually going forward with this. And I just wonder how many other physicians or healthcare organizations are using this information as basically to get a profile of a family to really provide a proper treatment program.
Mm-hmm. And how can we make them all do it now that we have healthcare reform coming in, right? This is an ideal time to really make this happen.
Yes.
A great question. And thank you for being the official male today. We've had all women call the program.
All right, I'll take that. But anyway, it's very encouraging to know that this is being done in the community.
Yes.
And I just hope it spreads. Thank you.
Awesome. Yes, we absolutely agree. I absolutely agree with that. So what's the, how do we make this spread?
Hey, Tremaine, I completely agree with you. I've been wondering that same question for years. And the encouraging thing is that it is indeed starting to happen, not only at the individual level, which I think some practitioners and some programs like Healing Hurt People are doing, but also at the community level. If you go to a website called instituteforsafefamilies.org, recently Philadelphia has mapped their whole city based on the ACEs, so they can start to build community resources that are specific to the populations in those communities based on the ACEs. In Walla Walla, Washington, there's a big initiative called ResilienceTrumpsACEs.org, where their goal is to get all 80,000 people in Walla Walla to know about ACEs so they can start to motivate families and schools to give their the next generation a little bit different experience than we have. There's a very good newsletter you can sign on to if you're curious called ACEs Connections, which every week publishes these kinds of things that are going on not only all over this country, but in many other countries as well. So it's finally catching on.
It's encouraging.
Yeah.
And the thing is, when you read this initial study, it was so staggering.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, wasn't it?
As to what indeed, you know, adverse childhood experiences does to people, particularly in their 40s and 50s.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so anyway, I'm just so pleased to hear that at last, that you know, that there is some movement on dealing with these issues.
Well, thank you so much for your call. We appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet.
Have a great day. Well, so if people want to learn more about Healing Hurt People, where do you suggest? Is there a website? Is there?
Yeah, there actually is. You can go to www.cascadiabhc.org. That's all one word, and that's CASCADIABHC.org. And they have a number of programs on there, but Healing Hurt People is one. For those of you who are tech savvy, you can simply go to your Google search engines and hit Healing Hurt People Portland, mm-hmm. and Cascadia's website will pop up. And we welcome you to peruse the website, and that will also give you more information on... And that will also give you more information on how to get how to access us and to get more information.
And so there's been a request that you share a story with us, and I know you've got one that you want to make sure that exemplifies why we're here today.
There was. We had a young man, one of our first clients who we were referred, who was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And this young man ended up being someone who, after we sort of explored all of sort of his history and what his needs were, this is a young man who had been college educated, had graduated from college, and just happened to be in a particular area that just hadn't been good that day. Mm. And the trauma that he experienced from that had been pretty deep, pretty heavy. So as we sort of did more work with him, sort of individual work and also some work with the family, we discovered that he had dreams and ambitions of going to law school. Mm. So one of the things that we were able to do with him is to get him access to a mentor, someone who actually is a lawyer, and also purchase some LSAT books so that he can study for the LSAT. Mm-hmm. And he has been, and also helped him with some rental assistance, and he's been able to successfully stay out of the situation, work on his own personal healing, and make these sort of move towards his more professional goals. Because one of the things, and I highlight this story, there are several of them, mm-hmm. because a part of the work that we do is I think we want to try to create an environment that allows for young people to sort of be upwardly mobile, mm-hmm. and have some self-sufficiency. And a part of being self-sufficient is having access to education, mm-hmm. and also being able to get a job, being mm-hmm. employable. Right. And so we have sort of in this post-discharge follow-up piece really worked to offer those opportunities to young people, because that is how you really stay safe when you feel like you have some power to take care of yourself mm-hmm. and to be viable. So wanted to just mention that.
That's fabulous. And one thing I wanted to make sure to not to forget to mention is the age group that you're working with, because I think that's really significant. You start at age 10
to 25.
Through 25. Mm-hmm. And so if you think about the trauma African American youth, especially male, suffer from an early age, you are intervening at a place where you could potentially turn that young person's life.
You can change the trajectory.
And their family.
Yes.
Not just the individual, but their family. I want to thank you both. I think that this is a fabulous program. I wish you a lot of success. I want to bring you back next year so you can tell me about a year down the road, what's the success of the program. But more importantly, I would love the next time to talk to one of the families that's gone through the program so that they can share their story about what that meant to them. And thank you, Maggie, for your vision to bring this program to Portland, because
Daryl Walker. Let's not forget the boss. Let's not forget the boss.
No. If the boss didn't have the vision, Maggie couldn't do what she needed to do. And since Maggie is your boss too, okay, all the kudos have been gone around. Okay, we've covered that. But it takes people with a commitment, because I work with young people all the time who have been devalued by the community they live in, and the trauma that they carry around because they're followed at the grocery store, at the shopping mall, or on the transit bus, or by the police in the neighborhood, and they have to prove their worthiness to walk down their own streets. That has to build up over a period of time. And so it's really important to know that there are people that are thinking about this and putting systems in place to fix it. And so once again, the website for Cascadia Behavioral Health is www.cascadiabhc.org. Or you could just go to the search engine and put Healing Hurt People into your search engine and get more information that way. Announcements of anything coming up that the public should know about as it relates to the program?
Well, we are looking to expand. We had an opportunity about 2.5 weeks ago to present to Governor Kitzhaber and the Oregon Educational Investment Board. And I think that statewide, people are recognizing that we have to take a different approach and shift the way we address young people, especially adolescents who have been violently injured. Mm-hmm. And it is an issue that if we don't resolve, I think that we are sort of cutting ourselves off at the knees here. Our young people are our future, and we have to be concerned with all elements of their health, including the social determinants of health. And this program focuses not on the physical aspects of trauma, but the psychological aspects. And we're not just healing people, but we are inevitably healing systems.
Yes. And families.
Is a system.
Right, yeah. Which is a system. Absolutely right. So I've been speaking with Dr. Alicia Moreland Kapoor and Dr. Maggie Bennington Davis. It has been my pleasure to have you here. This has been a wonderful, wonderfully informative program. Maggie, any last words? You want to thank your boss once again?
Well, actually, who I want to thank is Alicia. Alicia has done a phenomenal job making this program come to fruition. She's put together a dynamite team, and she's really proven herself to be a terrific project manager and leader in this area. So I want to thank her, and I also want to thank you, Joanne. It's such a pleasure and an treat to be able to talk about this program at leisure, and I've appreciated the callers. So it's been a lot of fun. Thank you.
It has been a lot of fun for me as well. You are very welcome, Dr. Alicia. I love saying that. It just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? I am Joanne Hardesty. I will see you next week, same time, same place, same station. Have a fabulous day. Thank you, Steve, for making us sound brilliant.
Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth. And good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland, a minute now before 9 o'clock and a busy Thursday morning in progress. Coming up at 9:30 on Fight the Empire, Per Fogering interviews Annie Machan, a former intelligence officer with England's MI5, who resigned and revealed secret operations. At 10 o'clock here, Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15 on Flashpoints, radio activist and Flashpoint senior producer Miguel Gavilan Molina tells his moving personal story of growing up in a farm worker family and experiencing racism. At 11 today on Between the Covers, host Dan Johnson interviews Oregon writer Christopher Lord about his book, The Edwin Drood Murders, the second volume in the Dickens Junction mystery series that began with the Christmas Carol murders. And at 11:30 on Black Book Talk, the hosts share their favorite books of 2013. That's all coming up, but first, it's Press Watch with host Teresa Mitchell presenting news you're not supposed to know. Yuan on the rise, fracking oil companies sue Colorado, and the Venezuela power line attack. That's all coming up next on KBOO.
Tune into Between the Covers every Thursday at 11 a.m. to hear interviews with locally and nationally known authors from both fiction and nonfiction. Between the Covers, only on KBOO Portland.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Yellow Pages, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit pdxgyp.com.
This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know, giving you the tools to...